nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
John Newbern said, "People can be divided into three groups, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who make things happen. Our first playmaker began his career mowing lawns and cleaning pools, while our second playmaker graduated from UT Dallas as the Outstanding Economic Student of the Year. With us today is the CEO of a multi-international security company that has seen five consecutive years of triple-digit growth, while our second playmaker owns a coffee house in North Dallas. These great playmakers are Mike Sheehan. Mike is CEO of IntelliCentrics, and Carrie Kelleher, she's owner of Coffee House Cafe. We're going to begin today's show with Carrie. Carrie Kelleher is currently the owner of Coffee House Cafe in North Dallas, which is a local cafe featuring specialty coffee from around the world and serves breakfast, brunch, lunch, and dinner daily. Prior to starting her own neighborhood cafe, Carrie served as executive director for the largest U.S. nonprofit tax reform organization, program director for the Richard B. Johnson Center for Economic Studies at SMU. She was an economic analyst for the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and she served as an adjunct communication professor at UT Dallas. Now, Coffee House is a local cafe in North Dallas at Preston and Frankfort, and they feature specialty coffee from around the world. I've been there, and it is great. There's business class Wi-Fi and power outlets at almost every table, plus a gorgeous patio for dogs, and that's where they got me right there, and live music on the weekends. Carrie, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, I mentioned a lot about you in the introduction, but you graduated from UT Dallas as the Outstanding Economic Student of the Year, and you went on to receive your master's degree in communication from Seton Hall University. Why economics and communications?
Economics I kind of fell into. I was studying finance and had to take some courses, and then I loved decision theory and why people make the economic decisions that they do. And I think when the Nobel laureate went to a psychologist instead of an economist, finding out that we make emotional decisions and not rational ones, I was infatuated on the individual level, microeconomics, then obviously macroeconomics, and so went on instead of a Bachelor of Arts to get my Bachelor of Science because I love the math side, I think, of that decision making as well.
And I'm sure that hasn't hurt you as owner of a business understanding the economics.
We want you in the classroom here. And so having the practical experience, not just the academic experience, I think helps students in communications to understand what skill sets they need to be able to take into the workforce. And so I worked in communications inside the business school.
Well, I met one of your employees, Sonia, who handles your catering. And I met her at a meeting, and she offered me a chance to have a cup of coffee at your cafe, and I took her up on that. And I had been looking for a coffee house that I could go to that was different than all the other coffee houses out there. Yours is, and I mentioned a little bit about that. How did that begin? How did that idea form in your head to start that?
Well, first of all, let me just say, based on your comment that you just made, we are now best friends. So in case you
wonderful,
didn't know.
Wonderful.
But ironically, the coffee house started in college. I wrote the business plan for it in college when I was getting my economics degree, and then continued to journal over the years, and turned 40 and had the experience and kind of said, you know what, I'm going to take my life savings and take the entrepreneurial plunge. And I was really good at making the spreadsheets, and I hit my pro forma statements and my estimates every week within 1% to 2% of where I forecast it will be. So that's really helpful. And I wanted to bring with the coffee shop kind of the third place. So a lot of people have work and they have home. And then where is that third place that that they like to be? And so the coffee house, with both all the scratch food that we make, being connected to the local schools and the local community. We do a lot of fundraisers, and we have, you know, one morning we'll have the Democratic Party of Dallas, and then the next it's the Republican Party of Dallas, you know, meeting in the same room at different times. So it's really, really been exactly what I envisioned it to be, in a place for connection across all spectrums and all the different parts of the community that need a place to congregate and meet and come up with ideas and strategies.
And congregate and meet, there are three different places within your restaurant you can do that. You have a smaller room in the back. Mm-hmm. You have a larger room toward the front. And you have that patio. I can see that being a meeting room if somebody wanted to use that too. So you have plenty of space there.
We do. We just had our first wedding. And so we had a couple get married there. And so, and then in one of the rooms, we do business lunch and learns where we have experts from the community and sales and marketing and, you know, CEOs of local companies who will come in and do presentations for different groups there. So it is. It's a great experience.
Well, that restaurant, if I'm correct, was a Mexican restaurant at one point. And was it closed when you purchased?
It had been open for 2 years. And so kind of that spot had been one where people were, oh, my gosh, don't go do that. You know, it's been failed endeavors for, you know, 12 years. And given that it's been a really difficult area. But there were some economic reasons for making that decision. And there was this brief window where there was a piece of tax legislation that enabled you to rapid depreciate any investments that you made in qualified real estate, and somebody put a loophole in and sucked in restaurants to that. I venture to guess that it was probably In-N-Out Burger, given how quickly they expanded into Texas. So usually you have to depreciate any of those kinds of large expenses over such a long period of time that the investment capital becomes huge. So it was only during the years 2010, 2011, where there was these certain tax write-offs. And when I saw it go through, I was like, oh, this would be a perfect opportunity to take those savings because I can rapid depreciate and write any of those expenses off immediately under those provisions. So,
well, I was amazed that I didn't know it was a Mexican restaurant. And by the way, again, I mentioned it's at Preston and Frankfurt. It's on the southwest corner, a little west of the corner to get there. But it's in the perfect place to have a meeting. It's, to me, I office in Richardson and I drive all the town, and that's a great spot for me. I am amazed at how that place looks because it doesn't look like a Mexican restaurant. You must have had either an interior decorator yourself design it to look like it looks. It looks fantastic.
Thank you. It was all me and the kids. So I have two kids, and we used to come in every day after school, sledgehammers, and we got estimates. And, you know, as an example, I'd gotten an estimate at one point for, I think, $16,000 to demo the complete inside. I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. So I went and bought all the tools at Home Depot and then put an ad on Craigslist for day workers and organized a bunch of people to go gut the place. And I was in there. I had a skill saw. I was about to take out one of the walls. And all of a sudden, that one of these gentlemen walks in, he's one of the day workers, like, stop, you can't take a skill saw to a wall with the electric being live. Like, you could kill yourself. So it's like, wow, this is a little bit more complex than I thought it was going to be because I have no background in building whatsoever. So there were definitely all the way from, you know, learning how to put in dish machines to, you know, scheduling software to all, there was so, it was like starting a company with, oh, restaurants are just hard. You know, say it's a very hard business. You've got inventory that you have to track that spoils. There's so many pieces. So having all the systems in place and then getting, you know, the employee stories are just wild, you know, from the restaurant industry. So trying to get college students to show up for work at 6 a.m. can be a challenge on a Saturday and a Sunday
I'll
morning.
Bet. I'll bet.
So it's, yeah, it's had its, it's definitely been a roller coaster.
Well, when you walk in the door to Coffee House Cafe, it looks like a coffee house, but then there's much more. You have the coffee bar right when you walk in, but you also have alcohol there mm-hmm. to serve mm-hmm. as a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You can sit at the coffee bar. You can sit around, and obviously, as I mentioned, you have Wi-Fi, so you can do business there, like a lot of coffee houses. But what's really nice about your place is you can – to the left as you walk in, you have a seating area where you can sit and have a meal. And we talked on the telephone prior to this meeting as we were setting it up. You were talking to me about the menu you have and how you've developed that. Tell us a little bit about the menu. It goes, well, tell us about the coffee and tell us about the menu. Tell us what you serve there so people can get enticed.
Well, the coffee, which obviously I'm very passionate about, hence the name, is the unique thing about the coffee, and I don't think that a lot of people realize this, but there's 215 million children worldwide who are still put in forced labor and in slave labor situations, and the majority of those kids are in mining and coffee and chocolate production. And there's finding beans that have not been touched by little hands are really, really hard. Mm. And so I made a commitment to only buy beans from certified farms who don't employ child labor, which is extremely expensive. And then also getting, you know, it's a seasonal crop. So getting a roaster who would work with me, who would work within the season, of getting, you know, an African, a Latin American, and an Asian bean. And so I roast all of those to individual time and temperature. Then we blend them together. So it's called a post-roast blend. And then our water before it hits the coffee is all triple filtered. And then it goes through a fourth filter. So you're getting a very, very clean water before it ever hits, you know, our beans. So the coffee is amazing. To me, it's amazing. And then
I've had it. It is amazing.
Thank you. We get a lot of feedback on, gosh, I don't get, you know, any acid. The acid, especially from our cold brew, is, you know, it's half what you would find in a normal cup of coffee. So it's just, it's a phenomenal coffee.
It's a bold flavor too, which is what I like.
Thank you. And we roast it in Portland, Oregon, with the only certified green roaster in the U.S. So our footprint, our carbon footprint, is as small as we can get it in this industry. And then our food, you know, most everything is scratch in the kitchen. And so even like pancakes for breakfast, or, you know, fish items that we, you know, do for dinner, we bring in three times a week.
Don't forget the beignets.
The beignets.
And I had those. Those are wonderful.
We make those in-house as well. And so flour is an important thing, because a lot of folks at home have flour that's been sitting in the cabinet. And, you know, flour goes rancid. So you can't really – first of all, you should have it in the fridge. But also you can't have flour for more than 3 to 6 months. And because we're churning our flour – you know, three times a week, and put all the rising agents in there, and like our lemon, we use fresh lemon and ricotta, and the lemon ricotta pancakes. The items that you're going to get are, you know, they're fresh, it's quality, it's local, and with an exceptional cup of coffee. Or in the evening, we have wine, beer, we have Chimay, which is fabulous. It was just ranked best beer in the world. So it truly is the idea for the concept was to be local and to be a cafe that serves its neighborhood, and to be reflective of the feedback that we've gotten from the neighborhood. So our menu has changed over time. You know, the Baja tacos that are on there are a favorite in the neighborhood. Shrimp tacos, we blacken them, and we make our own remoulade sauce in-house, that kind of the French New Orleans side of that matches our beignets. So we're working on it.
It's like going to Café Du Monde in New Orleans to have the coffee.
Okay, I don't know if – I mean, I know the coffee, yes. I don't know if we're quite where they are with the beignets, but
well,
that would
I
be the goal.
I close my eyes and I imagine.
Okay, good.
Carrie Kelleher is the owner of Coffee House Café, and that's the website too, coffeehousecafe.com. And I encourage you to go there and take a look at their menu. Stop by for a cup of coffee and you'll be hooked. And I was even more hooked by the fact that you can bring your dog out to the dog patio, and I think that's absolutely wonderful. Carrie, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for coming and drinking our coffee.
I will come back again. Carrie Kelleher, again, the owner of Coffee House Café, coffeehousecafe.com. Don't go away. After the break, please come back, because we have Mike Sheehan. Mike is the CEO of IntelliCentrics, and he's going to talk about his business, how he got started, and the fact that his business has seen 5 consecutive years of triple-digit growth. We're going to find out about that when we come back after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk about something a little bit different, security. Mike Sheehan is CEO of Flower Mound based IntelliCentrix, which is an operational security company that has built its business in the healthcare industry and has seen, as I mentioned before, five consecutive years of triple-digit growth even during the economic downturn. IntelliCentrix helps organizations ensure visitors meet the security requirements needed to enter specific areas. We'll find out more about this. In this role, Mike leverages his unique combination of entrepreneurial and Fortune 500 experiences in technology, process control, sales, and marketing to deliver on the company's vision of making the world a safer place. Now, Mike joined the company in 2004, 10 years ago, following a successful career at Honeywell, where he was Global Vice President of Marketing for the video systems business. He also served as Global Vice President of Six Sigma for the $2 billion security division of Honeywell. Mike, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
You had an article in DCEO, which is one of the reasons why I called you to see if you could be on the show, and I was very intrigued by you and some of the things you mentioned, one of which was your background. Now, you're a CEO of a multinational security company, but tell us about the jobs you had as a kid to earn money.
Yeah, growing up in Chicago was great. I wouldn't change it if I had 100 opportunities to change it. And as far back as I can remember, my father instructed all of us, I have two younger brothers, that the most important thing you can do is get your money to work for you. You can't work for your money your whole life. And with that, it really set the tone as early as age 10, and I had designed my dreams and aspirations then, and it began with mowing the yards of the neighborhoods. I knocked on doors. I walked down the streets with rakes, bags, and was absolutely proud that I could bring my own lawnmower to mow the neighbor's yards. And from there, I saved up for my first piece of stereo equipment. And that's what set me off in that path. And from there, when I got to college, I worked over into the swimming pool business, which was really fascinating on the North Shore of Chicago. A really interesting clientele up there. I was able to clean swimming pools for dignitaries from other countries, major chefs, and it was a great experience, great diversity of individuals I got to work with and for.
Did that help form in your head the fact that you wanted to be part of a multi-international company?
No, that came much younger. I was probably in my mid to late teens. My uncle on my mother's side got relocated to London. He was working with Allstate at the time. The family was devastated, and I was standing there all by myself thinking, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard of. So by about age 17, I had then further decided I wanted an international assignment. That became an opportunity in 2002. I was probably 32 years old. I was getting things done on the sales track that I was on, sales management, various promotions within Honeywell. And I heard about the Six Sigma opportunity that opened up. And I did everything I could to get an appointment with our CEO. And I said, Roger, I'm making an all-in bet. Whatever equity I have here in the company, I'm all in right now for that Six Sigma job. And he said, Sheehan, nobody goes from sales into Six Sigma. And I said, if I had more to bet, I'd double it right now. Are you going to take it? Take me or not? And he said, okay. And from there, I started traveling the world, and I absolutely loved it. And that was my first international assignment. And now today, I actually hold two positions, the IntelliCentrix CEO, but I'm also the CEO of our worldwide company. And as a result, I'm a resident in Taiwan right now, and I have duties there as well.
Knowing a little bit about Six Sigma as I do, which is probably 180 degrees opposite of sales, which is why your boss mentioned that, I'm sure that's given you a tremendous background, a lot more depth to come to IntelliCentrix and add more to what the company is working toward.
It's given me a great depth, but it's also given me what I would consider even equally or more important are better tools to communicate with people so that I could align myself with their perspective rather than relying on everybody to align themselves with my perspective. I could go four steps closer to the engineering or to the operational people because I went through that and paid that tuition, if you will, to learn about all of the other aspects and components of the business. So it's been invaluable.
Well, you had a good background then at Honeywell, which sets you up for being CEO of Intellicentrics. But let's talk about Intellicentrics. I mentioned a little bit about the fact that it's a security company in the healthcare industry, but tell us about your business. What does Intellicentrics do?
Intellicentrics is a company that is – it's the only security company that's designed to let people in. Now, we think that's really important because for the past 20,000 years, every security system's been designed to keep everybody out. You can go back as far back in China, and everything was all about keeping everybody out. Those dynasties were built at the top of the mountains.
The Great Wall of China.
The Great Wall of China keeps people out. Moats around the large castles and throughout Europe, then filled with alligators and the drawbridges. And if you've ever visited a castle, the internal design of that is all designed to make it harder and harder and harder to get into the core or the most important areas. And it occurred to me that that doesn't work anymore, that we are our business on a worldwide basis, global basis, has evolved into relying and trusting third parties. So Intellicentrics is a word that we created defined as intelligent concentric circles. And what we do is we have designed security service and technologies that will eliminate or prevent reduce the risks and vulnerabilities of essential third parties and entrusted and invited guests. If you think about that in a hospital context, everybody there is vulnerable. You don't have to be the patient. You could be visiting the patient, and you're vulnerable because you may not know what's expected of you in certain circumstances while you're visiting. So we look at that, and we operationalize that and service that for our customers.
Now, you have also something called RepTracks. How does that tie with Intellicentrics?
Intellicentrics is the name of the company, and RepTracks is the name of the service. We've branded the service. In fact, we got there. RepTracks was bigger than and will probably be with us forever. But the name of the company, the actual entity, is Intellicentrics, and it offers the RepTracks service.
Now, you have something called by the way, the website, if you'd like to check out Intellicentrics, is intellicentrics.com, which is spelled Intellicentrics.com. And one of the things you have, and I noticed on there, was five rings. Now, that is for your clients or your vendors, and how does that work?
Five rings is a celebration of the best in class, and as a result, we've recognized both the customers. We actually have a multi-party environment. We sit between the visitors and the host institution. See, we can go beyond healthcare because we take a security approach, but it works perfectly for healthcare. So what we do is establish the regulatory requirements, additionally the policies, procedures that the institution needs for its visitors to know, understand, and comply with. And then we administrate and bring the two parties together. Five rings is a celebration and recognition of the best in class, those that do it best, because in regulatory environments, the compliance is of paramount concern. It actually creates a safer environment at, interestingly enough, a significantly lower cost. So by celebrating those that do it best, we're actually saying they do it best, therefore they've created the safest possible environment for the lowest possible cost. And that's what that program's about, and that's why we're really excited about it.
Well, you have about 6,000 healthcare facilities that you're in. Is that correct?
Yeah, 6,000 installations. Yeah, correct.
Are there any local area in the Texas area that without mentioning them necessarily, that you work with?
Yeah, many. I would say many in the local area, and it's and growing as well.
This is something that's, I would guess, it's quiet to the average consumer. They're not aware that the hospital, the healthcare facility, would have it. But how would I know that hospital would have it? Is there anything either a patient or a visitor that would be different when I walked in that healthcare facility?
You've just touched on a really important theme as we go forward. We are going to be expanding that, and And on behalf of those that are contributing to the safety of that organization, we're going to be delivering that message broader so that you, for example, a visitor of that institution or otherwise interested in this institution will know about the great things that they're doing. So we have started that. It's going to begin with signage. It will begin with additional promotion because we believe that in due course, we believe that we can serve you at your home. See, you're the host in that situation. You have your own family policies and procedures or expectations of your visitors, and we can provide that service for you just the way we can provide it to the largest hospital in the country.
So it's a way to expand what you're doing and getting more people to understand what IntelliCentrix and RedPrax is all about.
Yeah, our vision is to make the world a safer place. It's not to make just hospitals safer, but everywhere. So we don't see limitations on where this goes. It's only bound by those that want to make the world a safer place.
Well, you obviously have a very strong vision and mission for what you're doing, and a lot of that came from your ideas and the way you were raised and your upbringing. What would you suggest for someone that wants to become an entrepreneur or someone who wants to get into business? What suggestions would you give them to help them become successful?
I think the keys for that are you got to have a dream. We can call it a vision, but for an entrepreneur, it's far more personal. It's much more of a dream. And I've been on this dream for 10 years. When I transitioned from Honeywell to this company, my dream hasn't changed. I've pursued it. But 10 years is both a short time and a long time, and you need fuel to get through that, and that fuel's got to be passion. I am deeply passionate about making the world a safer place. It matters to me. It matters to our employees. It defines how we go forward. We don't have a focus on revenue. We have a focus on value and improvements for the customers, for how they interact with our system, how we make it better. And we look back once in a while at the revenues for obvious reasons, but they are not what drive our decisions. It's the passion that leads us. And then from a small technique standpoint, when you're passionate, when you've got a dream and you're pursuing it and you're looking out into the future, there's competition for our time. And the one thing that we have to work hard on every day is making sure that we're focused on the significant few most important issues to realize that dream, not the important many. And we've got that down to – we've agreed as a management team the maximum that we can have is two most important issues. Everything's got to support those.
Well, that's the focus. That's the dream. And the passion that you mentioned – comes through your voice, and I hope the listeners could have heard that as you're speaking. And as we're talking, it almost comes through your pores, and it's obvious that that's a big part of who you are. Mike, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Mike Sheehan is CEO of IntelliCentrix, IntelliCentrix.com. My name is Steve Klein. Thank you for listening to Playmakers Talk Show. You can check our past guests, our future guests, and even past shows on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We'll see you again next week.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.